2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Okay, in Utah, we now have 26,755 positive COVID cases. I mean, they're not all still positive, but that's how many cases we've had. 722 yesterday alone, Dave. So you enter contact tracers into the equation. First, that sounds like a huge caseload for these folks to me. I don't know how many contact tracers we have in the state, but that sounds like a lot of work. Second, what do you do if a contact tracer calls you and asks where you've been, who you've been with, if you've been social distancing? I want to know if folks are honest about their answers.
That's an amazing question. It reminds me of a show I once saw.
Do you lie?
Why? Do you?
No, I'm asking if you lie.
Honesty is not synonymous with truth.
Yeah, you lie.
Yeah, you lie.
You lie.
You lie. I'd like to think I'd fall on the sword. If I caught it and people were asking me questions, where have you been? What have you been doing? Who have you, you know, been with? But would you really fess up? Like, oh, yeah, I was at the 4th of July party with 100 people and not one person was wearing a mask. And here's their names. Boom, 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 boom. That is tough.
Newsflash. Everybody lies.
Everybody lies.
So we had 564 new cases on Tuesday, 722 new cases yesterday, which was a new record, by the way. State epidemiologist Angela Dunn said we need to keep it about 200 cases a day for these contact tracers to keep up. We're going to have a live interview with one of them in just a second. We first began to hear about contact tracing in Utah back in April. Lieutenant Governor Spencer Cox talked to KSL News Radio back then to explain what it is.
The idea is a more surgical approach where we test everyone who has symptoms, find out who actually has the disease, and then go back in time and figure out everybody they've come in contact with, and eventually when we have enough tests, get them tested as well. That process is called contact tracing, going back and figuring out who they've been in contact with. It's a much more surgical approach that will allow us to slow the spread of the virus without locking everyone down.
Yeah, without locking everybody down. That has been everybody's goal, it feels like, is we just want to do whatever it takes not to have to shut down the entire state again. Let's bring on Lee Sherry Booth, a real-life contact tracer. First of all, are you completely overwhelmed right now?
Yes, we are. The cases are coming in hard, strong, and it's really hard for our contact tracers to, you know, reach out to each individual with our goal of 24 to 48 hours just because of the amount of positive COVID cases that we have.
So walk us back just a little bit. I'm curious, how did you become a contact tracer? Is it something you signed up for? Is it something you were voluntold to do? What kind of training did you get?
Well, I'm a Salt Lake County employee, public health nurse. And so when this COVID event happened, then the health department kind of started enlisting some other individuals that work at Salt Lake County Health Department to help with doing contact tracing. And so I was one of those individuals that came over and volunteered to help out. And we just started all of this process in March. And then since then, all the infectious disease nurses, of course, do this normally for other diseases. And then they just enlisted a bunch of other staff to help do this. And then now we've enlisted or hired some other outside staff to help as well. And then we are also continuing to train Salt Lake County Health Health Department employees in aiding in this effort. Yeah.
Give us a little bit of an idea. What questions do you ask? I mean, maybe not all of them, but give us an idea of what we can be prepared for.
We verify their demographic information. We ask them when their signs and symptoms started, go through the signs and symptoms, and then see, you know, who they've been around, like you were talking about. We're really focusing on household contacts. So we're asking whoever's in the household, and then we are asking, you know, where they work. Did they work while they were sick? And then we have a team approach where they will call their employer and just educate them on that there was a person that was working while sick, and then also educate the work site about cleaning and social distancing and best practices to work. And then we enlist the index case, who we call the positive case, to then reach out to their social contacts, their friends, their families, any birthday parties, any neighbors, anybody that they've been in contact 48 hours prior to their symptom onset, and educate them on what they need to look out for. So we want them to quarantine for 14 days after their last exposure, if at all possible, and then watch for signs and symptoms of COVID. And we go over that, and then we educate them on how to prevent the spread of the infection. And then when they do, you know, get signs and symptoms, if they do, to go get tested. And then if they do come back positive, then they become an index case. And we kind of go over the whole thing with
all
them.
All over again.
All over again, yeah. So just a lot of education about how the disease is spread and how to handle it and how to manage all of that around, and just gather some other information, like if they went on a flight or if they live in, you know, visited a daycare setting or long-term care facilities that are kind of our hot spots areas.
Right.
As far as with people that
can
are
we,
passing.
Can we get in trouble for our answers? You know, example, if I'm at a family party and we weren't social distancing or washing hands, wearing masks, can we get in trouble by telling you the truth?
Oh, no. No, the whole point of all of this is just to help decrease the spread and then educate and the individuals that have been in contact. So it's not that you'll get in trouble at all. It's just we're trying to reach out to all of the individuals as much as we can, you know, to educate them and help them understand about this infection.
Lee Sherry Booth is a contact tracer and talking to us live right now about what it's like to contact trace and the number of cases that they're dealing with. We just had, you know, 722 new COVID cases yesterday. So something you said just a moment ago really caught my attention. I think it's the way you perhaps said it. You said you ask people to quarantine if at all possible. Maybe I'm up in the night. I thought people were supposed to quarantine if they were diagnosed positive with COVID-19. Can you fill us in on those details a little bit?
Yeah. So the index case, we want them to isolate. So the word isolation and quarantine are a little bit different.
Okay.
Isolation is for the person that's sick and that has the positive. And yes, we want them to 100% isolate. That means don't go to work, don't go grocery shopping as much as you can. Quarantine means you've been a contact to a person that you've been exposed to somebody who has COVID. And so they can potentially be incubating the infection for 14 days after last exposure. So we want them to quarantine and, again, not work if possible, not go outside or not go places because they could be incubating the infection. But the problem lies that every workplace with people that are in quarantine, they need them to go back to work. And so there's a tricky balance between if your employer is requiring you to go back to work or you have to go back to work because you have to pay your bills, then what does that mean? Does the work site help that they check temperature?
Right.
Do they require masking? Do they have it set up that they can work 6 feet apart while they're at work? But then when you go home, you still need to be in quarantine, meaning, you know, don't be around people, wash things frequently. So that's what I mean by quarantine, if at all possible. If you are required to go to work for those reasons, then hopefully the work setting has put those measures in place mm-hmm. to help decrease the spread. But then when you go home, we want you to really quarantine and, you know, as far as not be around anyone. The person who's sick, we do, you know, we are strongly require asking them to stay at home and not go to work for those that are sick.
Thanks for clarifying that. Thanks for jumping on the line with us.